these kids would be great for this type of ideas, bringing new concepts to the table.
Hello, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to help grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
So Kevin, today's one of those days where I'm really excited to go into Studio AOC and talk to one of the loyal AOC tribe followers who has said he's listened to pretty much all of the podcast, which is just an honor to hear that. We have Sammy Kinoshita out of Toronto, Ontario.
Yeah, I'm excited too because I know he reached out, found us on the web and started perusing through our library of episodes online and was excited about what he heard and reached out and said, I want to talk to you guys.
Yeah, and as we talk, it seems like the construction world is either too construction, I've always done it this way, or too corporate, what's your lowest price? And we're in a spot where we need some really good tradies, as they'd say in Australia, or some the next people to take over this industry. So I'm going to read what he put to me on the message board, and then we're going to dive in and have a fireside chat with Sammy. I feel that the construction industry would benefit if we were able to reduce the stigma around working in construction and develop an industry that entices smart, proactive individuals to join our field. Well, I think we've got a smart one today, so absolutely, Let's dive in and have a chat.
Here we go.
So what's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage is High Park Brewery. It's a local beer brewed actually just down the street from me. Get into that once in a while.
What's down the street from you? Where's that at?
Well, I actually live in Parkdale, and a neighboring community is High Park. Now, a majority of my friends are from there, and one of the dads owns it. It's an up-and-coming business, and it's actually really good. If you guys are in the Toronto, Ontario neighborhood, you should grab one.
All right. Well, so next time I'm swinging up to Toronto from Denver, Colorado here. Cool. Well, tell us your favorite place you've traveled.
Last year, I was in Portugal. I visited Lisbon, and that was definitely one of my top goals for the summer. And I think wintertime going to Japan is the best location.
Awesome. Nice. Give us one story from that trip.
Well, I've never rented a car before, and I rented a car, and we put 4 days of travel on the rental car, which was a lot of fun. And just being able to explore and, you know, go over wherever you like. There's a lot of mountains and beaches, like beautiful country.
Excellent. Well, tell us your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena.
I'm a bit of a hermit crab. I like to watch Netflix and stay inside a lot of the time. Definitely an avid Netflix goer.
So we got to know a little bit about Masami Kinoshita, who I'm going to brag a little bit about The Art of Construction to start this thing. It was one of my favorite reads that I got out of our message board, is where he sent a really nice message to us about how it's so refreshing listening to The Art of Construction, being a younger project manager in the field, where you guys really peel back the layers and talk about working smarter and not harder, and really making construction sexy again or fun again. So do you want to elaborate on that? And then we'll dive into what you do as a project manager with your company, Envision Inc. out of Toronto, Ontario.
Yeah, for sure. Growing up, young kid, I was working a part-time job. An old guy who I respected quite a lot, his name was Jim Walker. He had mentioned to me, he said, Masami, you're a smart kid, hardworking, you'll excel in the construction field. Now, when I first heard that, I thought, I had a bit of a background knowledge of, you know, thinking of guys with hard hats and coming home dirty and this and that. So I wasn't too keen on it. Now, coming out of university, was looking for a job and got a job with one of my friend's parents. I loved it. Every single day, growing, learning, every time you show up to a job site or talking to a project manager or super, it's always, how can we get this done? How can we fix this problem? And the people within the industry are just great. So I've stuck with it for almost coming up to 3 years now. Every day is a growing experience, and I'm not going to be changing industries anytime soon.
So what have you discovered working in the trades that you'd want to share with our younger listening audience?
Honestly, you may have a stigma behind working in construction and skilled trades, but that's not the case at all. You, you're not going to be working, doing physical labor for the next 50 years. You might do it, learn your trade, and there's a lot of room to grow. A lot of people go into ownership, union side, where you're taking care of your guys. Even there's teaching involved. So there's a lot of options after you put your dues in, you know?
So what do you think a lot of people listening to this show, we have, you know, all ages and backgrounds. What do you think the industry should be doing to attract younger talent to the trades?
I think we need to be focusing on our local, what we have around here is Toronto Construction Association. So these guys need to be really touching base with everybody from college kids, high school kids, university kids. As soon as they're getting out, they're looking for this job, and we need to be picking them up and trying to teach them that, you know, that you could have a good career in construction, regardless of which trade you'd like to get into. But
Masami, you talked a little bit initially about what attracted you to the construction field, that being the fact that there are, you're not bored. There's a lot of things happening and you like the people. Talk a little bit more about the other kinds of things that may attract that younger talent, you know, perhaps in the area of integrating technology into construction, or what other kinds of things do you think are out there that would attract that, you know, that age group?
Some of the coolest things, just the complexity of the jobs, learning how to read blueprints. But you guys had a guest who talked about field wiring, how he's developed. And I actually took that and started using it as well for my guys. So my upcoming project, I've got all the blueprints added in. We're going to work with all the subs, try and get them all on board. But there's such a technical aspect and high communication that's needed from young, smart kids that a lot of people don't know about. It's such a demanding career. And being a project manager or super, you need to know the ins and outs and everything, and constantly asking questions and having those tough conversations that actually end up being rewarding in the end.
Well, here's one of the advantages of that, I believe, also to attract that younger talent is the fact that a lot of the older guys, they don't want to know and don't want to be bothered with that stuff. So it's like, you know, for the companies that really need this efficiency and record keeping and productivity, if they, you know, if they're pushing out towards that younger group, it's a win-win for everybody.
For sure. You got to learn or you get left behind. So
there you go.
I think even with you guys, you guys put a lot of effort into your marketing. And I think that these kids would be great for this type of ideas, bringing new concepts to the table. Hey, we've done this for this many years. Maybe we can try something else. And I think that'd be good for them.
So I want to make sure I'm understanding this right. Is how did you learn about the Art of Construction podcast?
I personally have done a lot of self-teaching. And I think one of my biggest places where I find information is podcasts. Now, I Googled a bunch of construction podcasts and I came across you guys actually after a month or two. And you guys had a completely different tone and the content was just fabulous. I was connecting with it a lot more because I love the creativity that the architects and engineers bring. So I listened to one of my first episodes I ever listened to was the Australian guy who you guys brought in. And I thought he was phenomenal, like great quality guy. All the terms were mixed in and we were trying to figure out what was everything. So
yeah, that's such great feedback. I appreciate you saying that because, you know, we're talking through the microphone, though we're number one on iTunes for contractors and architects. A lot of times you don't really get that feedback, you know, because we're always on the go listening to it. So I appreciate those kind words and testaments. And by not being salesy, you connected to the Art of Construction, related to the Art of Construction, and then you went out and tried Fieldwire by us having him as a guest on the show. Is that accurate?
You guys have been a resource of information. Every single episode, I'm learning something. And one of the biggest key concepts that I always talk to the other owners for the sub trades, you want to work on your business and not in it. And I took that from you guys and I've integrated it into a lot of the conversations I have with my guys.
Well, thank Excellent. You. Yeah, we just, my alma mater, you had talked a little bit before we got on the show is to go back to the schools and, you know, really going back. So I went to college at Mesa in Grand Junction, Colorado here, and my podcast, my senior class that I was in, we did it for it was the Honda Element, and we did this whole campaign, and the teacher at that is still a professor there, and they actually, in their senior class, just did a whole project on the Art of Construction podcast, on how to grow it and listenership. And their big analysis coming out of that was to go back to the trades and have the teachers and the students give us feedback, you know, the theories and the principles and pulling all that together. So we're definitely going to make an effort on that. Maybe somewhere in Toronto we can have somebody, you know, integrate into the show.
Sure. And I just remember being a young university kid, almost graduating, looking at the employment boards that the university provided. And you know what? There is never anything to do with construction on there. And I really wish that that would change, because you have a lot of kids that wanting to learn, they really don't know what type of industry or direction they want. And if you explain to them, like, this is how your career might take off, this is the amount of money you could be making, it's just a great intro into something that they need a little bit of direction, but there's no companies really leading toward that quite yet.
That's interesting. I wonder if, what are your thoughts on maybe the industry associations helping out with that? I mean, because obviously in construction, you have a lot of small to medium-sized businesses that maybe either don't want to, can't afford to do the recruiting, but what about the construction industry associations going to some of the universities and recruiting on the basis of the overall industry?
For sure. Like, there was a huge boom when I was growing up. Everyone needed to go to university, and that was the thing to do. Now, whatever type of marketing tactics they may have used, I think that the construction associations should use as well. Make construction sexy again. Show that, you know, being in the trades is a good career, and you should honor it, that kind of job, which I respect all my guys. I respect all the females in the industry and all the young entrepreneurs. In regards to the larger companies who may have a little bit more capital to work with than the smaller guys, I do think they should be helping out their local associations, as well as touching base with some of the universities to pull into those kids. They're very smart guys who might be their next project manager or super in 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, that's a good point, because a lot of times in the universities, they're all thinking of going to accounting firms or other types of sales organizations, not necessarily thinking about construction. And if nobody's there to promote it, they're going to miss.
Exactly. And when I was speaking with Greg Hernandez, who you guys had on the show as well, he said, you know what, I came from a business background. I did multiple years in the financial sector. And he says now he loves his job. He wouldn't change it for the world. And I totally agree with him, because I was in a so-called business job, and I would never look back to that kind of work.
Cool. It's fun to hear people smiling and having fun, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Well, and I think that's an important part, too, that you talked about at the very beginning, because I think, you know, a lot of times the younger demographic are, particularly this day and age with technology, everything's moving faster, quicker. It's, you don't want to be in a job where you're bored. Nobody wants that in the first place. But I think particularly now, it's critical amongst that age group to have an opportunity in an industry that's always changing, and it's always going to be changing. So
for sure, all the rules, how things are done, the materials, communicating with new trades, like the turnover rate. They don't leave the industry, but they do change companies, and you're constantly trying to build new connections with people and learn new faces and keep up with the times. As I said, I try and use podcasts to keep up with the times and know what's going on, because you could be stuck in a circle where you're talking to the same 10 guys for weeks on end, right? So I try and kind of open up and see what's going on in Denver, Colorado.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Well, let's take a deeper dive on your day-to-day. You're a project manager with Envision. Tell me about your company and the most unique construction project you've done this year.
For us, we do a lot of commercial restaurants, and we do a bit of base building. But probably the most interesting one that we've done this year was a fit-out for a smaller guy. It was just third restaurant that he had opened, but this one was really near and dear to his heart. So we walked through the whole process with him, and it turned out great. It's in Oakville, Ontario. I don't know if I can say the name of the restaurant. Walked through it with him. We had a designer, my owner boss, brought in a designer. And I know you guys have talk about design build quite a bit. So this was my first design build that I worked on. And from the start of the project all the way to the end, it was great when we finally got them open. They got their first customer. I was very excited for him.
Talk a little bit about how you've integrated FieldWire and kind of some of the benefits that you've seen from using their platform.
Right. Now, we have all our trades running around at different jobs at multiple times. So biggest thing with us is trying to keep that communication going. Now, if it's a one or two guy operation or a 3 to 6, you still need to have the proper communication of, I need my HVAC to look this certain way, and then the electrical needs to follow. So as the young project manager, I'm trying to integrate this and teach the old guys that, you know what, we can have a better system than phone calling and kind of just leaving things on a message board on site. So I'm trying to do that, especially with having multiple jobs coming up soon. We're going to get into the busy season, so I want to keep everybody cool-headed and rolling.
That's good thinking.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So on the flip side, you talked about the restaurant. What was the most challenging project you worked on and something that you learned from?
Most challenging project was a residential job that we did over the winter. I will admit, if you are doing residential work, then all the power to you, but that is definitely the most difficult I've ever had to deal with. Just dealing with the owner, keeping them happy, and it was a job that was a little bit far away, so in terms of logistics, it was a bit difficult.
Any other tools you use besides FieldWire to manage that from being, you know, a little further away from typical job sites?
Biggest tool, not electronic, but we found that using subs within the town was the best bet. Everybody knew each other there. A lot of them communicated with each other. So we would bring them on the job site. They had worked with each other for 30 years plus. The material was a lot easier getting it from them because they already had accounts set up. The transit time was a bit shorter for them. So it was a lot more moving on their side.
Good deal.
Tell us some of the top things you've learned as being a project manager for a smaller firm.
For a smaller firm, making sure that, coming from a young kid's perspective, definitely making yourself known and trying to learn as much as you can before people have to start telling you what to do. And keeping an open eye. I do walkthroughs of my job sites daily multiple times, and I note multiple things down. Having everything documented on my side of things is the most critical part to me because I can't remember everything. So I'm always taking pictures, writing notes in my book and in my phone, and communicating with my boss, just letting him know everything is going gravy. Pretty much having all the subs on the same page as well. That's the biggest thing. We don't have multiple supers. We don't have multiple PMs that can run these jobs. So we try and keep them running as smoothly as possible and just having everybody on top of things.
So as a younger project manager, what would be some advice you would give to somebody that is considering doing this? Maybe they're, as the notes from when you had the phone conversation with Greg Hernandez, it's kind of attracting younger talent, you know, how much fun you're having. What would be some advice or, you know, things you would give to our listening audience?
Keep working hard every single day. Learn as much as you can. Ask the tough questions. Write everything down because you're not going to remember it all. For me, every time I kind of figure something out or learn how something works, I feel such a reward. I came into the industry not knowing what any type of HVAC or electrical or plumbing was. I had no background in it, and I feel very comfortable talking about those type of things now with my subs because I've just dig deep. I've done my learning, looked into the internet, listened to podcasts. There's so much resources and so much information out there, and you just got to be eager and go grab it.
Talk a little bit about how the university education in business helped you transition into construction, you know, because so much of successful project management and working in this industry has to do with communication, anticipating problems, solving problems. Talk a little bit about how, while you didn't have the technical experience like you described in terms of knowing all the nuts and bolts about HVAC and electrical and so on, you learned that. But obviously, from listening to the way you describe your day-to-day activity, there was a lot that you did bring to the table from the university and from your own background prior to that. So talk a little bit about the skills that you did bring in and what you think those young people need to be thinking about.
Right. I think with this industry, just knowing your numbers. Devin always hammers in that you never want to run out of money. You never want to run out of cash. And I think having the business background, you recognize, okay, you understand where these people are coming from, who's making what, and it's understanding those processes and being able to put them all together and price, you guys call them bids. We call them tenders or bids, and just pricing those jobs. And I think that's such a exciting part for a business student. Especially coming out of university, that's what you want to get into. You want to know the numbers. You want to see those things and learn about what costs what. And just being able to communicate with other people, that type of information is very attractive to me, I think.
Excellent. Well, we've talked about back on the show with the Site Shed, where they call them tradies, and you right. in Canada, you in Toronto call them tenders. What are some other things you that when you're listening to us here in the States talking about construction, what are some things that you're like, what the heck are they talking about there, or things you've learned?
I think you guys call them roofs, like above the house. We call them roofs, but...
Roofs?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I think that's a West Coast thing in Canada. Gotcha. But yeah, no, you guys are pretty on par.
You understand our language, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think we can communicate pretty well.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. It's so fun to globally be able to talk to people and how different we are, but yet we're all the same, right? Even if we have a few different language or technicalities, it's still all about back to don't run out of cash, have fun, learning every day. You know, as everybody asks me the advice, it's always, you know, always be learning. You know,
if
you're part of a learning organization, the only constant is change, but you're going to be changing for the good if you're always learning.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to connect with you guys, because we all want to grow our businesses and we all want to succeed. And I think the people who are listening to your podcast are those type of people. And because I saw such a shortage of skilled trades, and I always hear these guys saying, you know, it's so hard to find people. Well, it's only going to get worse if we don't try and change things, right? So I think that's what I wanted to shed light on.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, my goal today wasn't to have a testimonial podcast, but boy, you really did that for us.
Yeah. Well, hey, honestly, I start my day listening to you guys, and it just gets me in the right state of mind. So I have to thank you guys for that.
I appreciate it.
That's fantastic. Well, if there's one thing you could have the global audience of the Art of Construction listening to grow their business, what would that one thing be?
Market. I think you guys are great. Example of this, but moving forward, this is the new way of advertising, social media, using podcasts. This is just going to attract customers and employees, and I think it's a good tactic that everyone needs to get into.
Well, one of the things that we've described and the way you've kind of outlined it, I think, is similar, and that is we've talked to a lot of people that we do business with and explained that very thing, is that this is an opportunity for people to learn and to exchange ideas without any sales pitch or anything like that. And for them, it's also an opportunity. Like, as an example, if we have an architect on the show or we have a builder on the show, it gives them an opportunity, just like yourself, to be able to use that podcast to send out to folks that are looking to hire them. It gives them a chance to listen to how they talk, how they think on their feet, how they interact with their clients in a way that's real, as opposed to just a pure sales pitch. So,
for sure,
hats off to you for.
I think adding on to the whole word of mouth thing, which is huge in our industry, but just adding on to you know using these outlets, but also having that option of word of mouth, because that's where a lot of our trades come from and relationships.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, man. It's an honor to be talking to somebody that's a loyal follower for the AOC tribe, and that's the whole goal of this thing. So check out our video platforms and all the other things that we're adding, and it's truly about you, contractors and architects, growing your business. So thanks for listening and coming on and telling us your story.
For sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
No problem.
Hey, tribe. I'm Devin Tilley, one of the hosts of the Art of Construction podcast, a podcast specifically designed to help you contractors and architects grow your business by explaining the awesome world of construction. After teaching an audience that has grown to over 40,000 people, it's time to expand, baby, so let's add video to the platform. Each Monday, we will be bringing you a new video on some of our favorite projects and telling you all about the art of construction process. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel today so you don't miss any of it. Come on over and have a fireside chat at theartofconstruction.net and be part of the tribe. See you next week on The Art of Construction. When you start something and it's not all about a sales pitch, I think you come out from a really good story on the other side. And that's what I got out of today, is to say, how cool is that, that it wasn't salesy or FieldWire didn't pay us. It was truly, we want to learn tools to be out in the field, and they talked about the tools, which he is a loyal follower of the AOC that is now utilizing that tool. Pretty cool testimonial for what we're doing and building the tribe.
Absolutely. And the gratifying part is when you think about the premise of what we're always talking about, the art of construction is really designed to help architects, builders, and project designers grow their business. That encompasses a lot of things. So Fieldwire had a legitimate platform that they wanted to share with our audience, and it connected and resonated with Massami, and he's using the product, likes it, and so it's exciting for everybody.
Yeah, and Massami, thanks for the kind words, man. It's so inspirational for us as we turn the microphone on and talk to the tribe out there to hear that it's resonating, and the stuff that we're saying is making sense and helping them grow their business and have more fun.
And the key, too, I think, is here you got a 24-year-old, very energetic, very smart young guy that's looking at growing the marketplace, recognizes already that there's a challenge in the field with being able to hire young talent, and he's got some ideas to help go forward and improve that. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And he came to the Art of Construction as a way to kind of promote that going forward, to not only promote his cause, but to promote that as well. So,
well, I definitely agree with his one thing is to market and do things like the podcast.
So absolutely.
I commend you for all you've done for the construction industry, and keep learning. You know, always be learning, and you're going to come out on top. So thanks for coming in.